Well, it's great to have you here this morning as we come into the house of the Lord. And this entire month is going to actually be a lot of different things. And that we had offering brought to the front, which was a little different for some. And change is not always easy. But we're also going to have communion for the next 4 weeks. And that we're going to have communion for the next 4 weeks because I want to start to unpack a little bit about the power of Jesus' blood. You see, this isn't just kind of hearing and walking, but what has his blood really done for us? What has his blood called us to? You see, we've been set apart. We are different as believers. And so that's what we want to do over the next week. So at this time, I'm going to dismiss the kids so the kids can head to their Sunday school. And then we're going to jump right into the Word of God, and we're going to dig into his blood, and we'll have communion at the end of service. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Through the blood of Jesus, you have been redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Listen to me. We've got to understand a few principles, and that's what I'm going to share over these next few weeks, of just what Jesus' blood has really done for you and for me. And that his blood, through the blood of Jesus, you are redeemed out of the hand of the devil. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the devil blinds the minds, or we hear the eyes of the unbeliever, so that we cannot see the light. I must confess that when I let unforgiveness or fear or pride or worry or anxiety come before my mind and come up into my heart, and that I can be blinded from the truth. I can be blinded from what's real. Right? A great example would be a fit of rage when all of a sudden anger rises up because something happens. You don't think clearly anymore, do you? Then if you don't think clearly, you don't see clearly, right? If anxiety or anxious or worry or fear of people come rising up inside of you, all of a sudden, you don't think right anymore, do you? Now all of a sudden, your mind starts to think, well, oh, so-and-so, they put one hand up and one hand down, so that means like they totally want to fight me or something. Right? And your mind just starts playing you on those things. Oh, my coworker, they walked by me today. They always stop to say hi, but they walked by me. Oh, my goodness, I must have did something wrong. You see, the enemy is out to blind us as believers because Jesus has brought us into the light. He wants to blind us from the truth of what Jesus actually did for you and me so that we don't walk with our heads up. We don't walk forward, but we end up standing still. We think we can stand still, but the end of the day is if we stand still too long, you will end up moving backwards. Why? Because God's on the move. He's on the move. Yesterday, today, and forever, he's the same, but everything else around this kingdom is changing. Why? He is redeeming the kingdom. He's redeeming you. Amen? The curse of sin and death has infiltrated every area of society. Everything from our plants to the world, to the world system, to in our minds and in our hearts of man. And the enemy is constantly trying to blind us and blind the world. He has them captive. It's not that they're bad. No, it's not that you're good. No, we're all bad at the core. We're all in need of his touch and his blood to save us, to redeem us, to buy us back. In the Old Testament, you see a brutal but yet real picture of an attempt to do what Jesus did on the cross. You can read account after account where they slaughtered 10,000 bulls. They slaughtered this, they did this, and that for the blood that was shed was a covering of our sin. And then Jesus shows up on the scene. the spotless lamb. And he dies for you and me. Brutal death. He did no wrong. He wasn't born in that from the seed of Adam like you and I with a sinful nature. He was conceived in Mary's body by the Holy Spirit. So he wasn't born with the nature that you and I have. And he knew no personal sin, the Bible says. And yet he went and paid a penalty that he didn't know. So that you and I could walk free. Not you and I could just enjoy a few moments and that idea, but we could walk free in Christ. That's the verse that we're going to spring off is Psalms 107:2. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." If you want to flip this next slide, this is a declaration that I really like us to read together, but I want us to not just read it, I want us to get it in our hearts. You see, as you seek the Lord and you declare his word, you will, say it with me, receive physical and emotional healing. Be free from fear, guilt, and shame. You will recognize God's voice. You will learn God's ways to financial blessings. You will find God's purpose and plan for your life. You will achieve victory over temptation and develop faith for the miraculous. Wow. I should get like people jumping up and down, dancing and saying amen, amen, amen. This is what he's paid for. Not for us just to get a ticket to heaven, not just for us to enjoy the ride, not for us just to have some feelings and emotional touches and God move and that. No, as you seek the Lord and you declare his word, hear me, you will receive physical and emotional healing. You will be free from fear, guilt, and shame. Amen, amen, amen. You will recognize God's voice. Listen, I am so tired of hearing over and over again from believers in Christ, I don't know God's voice. I don't know God's voice. I can't hear God's voice. I can't hear God's voice. The declaration you are making out is wrong. It's not biblical. It's not what God declares. He says, "My sheep know my voice." Amen? Don't let the devil destroy what God has done for you. Don't partner with the enemy. You might say, "No, I'm a good Christian. I don't partner with him." When your lips don't speak truth. Now listen, I'm saying truth based on the word of God. That is the truth. It's the truth that shall set you not only will you recognize God's voice, but you will learn God's ways to financial blessings. God wants you blessed. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not prosperity teacher and all of that. You know me by now. I've been here 2 years. That's not who I am. But he wants you blessed. Why? Because he wants you ready in season and out of season to bless others. So he wants you to learn how to live within your means. He wants you to learn how to get into the rhythm of, okay, this is where I'm at, not where I want to be in some thing or where someone else is. Where are you at? Live within that. Shift things you've got to. Get yourself into a good rhythm so when God says, "Hey, I want you to give," or "I want you to do," you're ready to do it. Amen? You will find God's purpose and plan for your life. Everyone ends up somewheres. You talk to ones that put career as their, "Oh, if I could just get to the head, if I just get to here, I'll be, oh, everything will be perfect." They get there, and they're still empty inside. You see, the only purpose that will bring satisfaction into your life and into my life is not Freedom 55. It's not if I climb the corporate ladder. It's not if I can just get this or if I could just do this or if this just happens or if this can move in this way. But it's when you walk into the purpose and the plan that God has for your life. Everything comes into sync. Everything comes into balance and you will be at peace. Not only that, but you will achieve victory over temptation. Let me pause to simply say, and I've said it 100 times before, and I'm going to keep saying it, is you and I do not have to sin anymore the moment we have Jesus in our heart. We don't have to. Can we? Absolutely. Do we? Absolutely. But do we have to? Not at all. Because greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. He overcame the world so I can overcome the world because the great I am is inside of me. You see, we live way below what God has called us to, and therefore we have a whole bunch of battles that we're not meant to have, and we struggles that we're not meant to have only because we're living below what he's called us to. And you will develop a faith for the miraculous. You can't help but develop that. You can't help to desire that. You can't help but see that come out of your life when you recognize who is living inside of you and you let him lead. When Jesus walked this earth and he saw someone hurting, did he not do something? When he saw a situation that just wasn't right and he knew his daddy could do something about it, did he not do something? You see, when you let Jesus lead, you're going to automatically walk into the miraculous because now all of a sudden he's just doing what he always does. And that's what he's wanting you and I to partner with, to be about his Father's business. Lord, we just thank you right now. Lord, I know that I'm not going to do justice, but I am doing the best that I can on what you've placed in my heart to unpack and unfold just how powerful your blood is and what you have done for us. And so, Lord, I proclaim through your blood that I have been ransomed. I have been brought back. I am a true believer in Christ. And through your blood, Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. And I thank you, God, that, Lord, I am not going back, but I am only going forward into the things that you would have. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. I want to talk about a few things as I unpack a couple things before we come into communion. Number one, I want to talk about true believers. True believers, what does that mean? Well, through the blood of Jesus, I'm redeemed out of the hand of the devil. I'm no longer in the hand of the devil, but now I'm in God's hands. Amen? And that Psalms 107:2 I read earlier says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I'm emphasizing. "Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You see, this statement of scripture is one that concerns what the blood of Jesus does for us as a believer. What it does is it redeems us. It buys us back out of the hand of the devil. It buys us back and brings us into the hand of God. And when we understand that, then all of a sudden we understand, wait a second, I was in darkness, but now I'm in light. My mind and my eyes were blinded, but now my mind and my eyes are opened wide. And I can see differently. That's why the Bible says that we are aliens and strangers in this land. As a believer in Christ, bought by Christ, out of the hand of the devil, into the hand of God, brought into the light, you should not fit this world. Your way of thinking, your way of speaking, your way of moving, the way you handle your finances. I know there's a number here, and that you've had calls from the CRA and the tax and everything else because you gave too much money to charity. And they're like, "No, this can't be. We just need to confirm this. Did you really give this much money away? It doesn't make any sense." We should puzzle those around us. If not, then be very careful. Be aware. For those that love the world will hate him. Not necessarily on purpose, but you can't serve two masters. I know that's money and God, but you can't serve two masters. It's either the hand of the devil or it's the hand of God. And Jesus is reminding us of what he's paid for. You see, in Christ, Ephesians 1:7, it says, "For in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." I've got 9 of the 216 times that the Bible says, "in Christ." If you want a great Bible study, just go to your Bible and look up every time the Word of God says, "in Christ," and read what it says. Read what it says. Here's 9. In Christ, you can be faithful. You can be faithful to Him. You can be faithful to your spouse. You can be faithful to His bride, the church. You can be faithful to your work. In Christ, you can be faithful. Ephesians 1:1. These are all coming from Ephesians 1, the ones I'm taking right now. 1:1, he says, "In Christ, you can be faithful to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus." Listen to me. What Jesus' blood paid for is he paid so that you could be faithful. So even when you're saying, I'm struggling, I'm having a hard time, in Christ you can be faithful. You might trip, you might fall, but get yourself back up. Wait a second. In Christ I can be faithful. And you begin to declare that out and ask him for that help. Ask him for that place. In Christ, the second, you are blessed. Oh man, how many times I hear, God, he doesn't like me right now. God's mad at me. God's cursing me. God's against me. Listen to me. Bad stuff happens to good people. Not everything that happens and aren't so good in your life is because you're a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Sometimes it's so that you can be a light from underneath and you can shine bright down here, and that when things are tough, so everyone else around can find a way out of that miry clay. They can say, "Wow, your Jesus is that big that when you're down there, you can still serve him? What on earth? You have peace? You have a rest? You can go to bed at night when I know all of this stuff is happening? Or I can't believe it. Tell me about this Jesus." Sometimes we go through trials of many kinds because he's developing our perseverance, our patience, our strength in him, our faith in him. So sometimes we find ourselves in a tough spot, not because the devil's out to get us, not because God hates us, because in Christ you are. Thank you so much. Let's try that again. Do you think everyone can do it this time? In Christ, you are. God's not against you. The Bible says he's not against you. He's for you. Amen? So in that part is when you're down in the dumps or when things are dumped upon you and you're finding it really difficult, remember, wait a second, I'm blessed. So God, even when things aren't going right, even when something happens in my life that I would wish not even on my enemy, I know I'm blessed. And you have the power over death and hell. And you have the power to turn that which is bad and terrible, and you can turn it into good. So God, I am going to remain faithful because I am blessed. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, again, chapter 1, just moving down, it says, Blessed be the God our and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. He jumps down to Ephesians 1:6, and then he says, he has blessed us in the beloved. Listen to me. You are blessed. Number 3, in Christ, you were chosen and made blameless. You see, in Christ, you were chosen and remain blameless. Here it is, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 now. He, that is God, chose us. How? In him. that is in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Let me just put it a different way. You might be working against God sometimes. I might be working against God sometimes because of my attitude, because of my pride, because too much fill is in the equation. But God is working everything inside of you because you were chosen and he declares you are blameless. He's washed you white as snow. Don't live below that. Don't live below that. And please don't expect God to move down below that, because he's not going to go down below that. What he's declared over your life, he means it. And he's doing everything he can in your life and my life to bring us to that place, that you are chosen before the foundation of this world. He chose you. He set you apart. And then he says, why? So that you would be blameless before him and holy. Number four, in Christ you are forgiven. He goes on to say, in Christ you are forgiven. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we're just jumping down a couple of verses. It says, in him. See, how many times have you read that in the Bible? There's 216 times that he says, in him. In him, in Christ, in him, in Christ the beloved. Over and over and over again, he says it. In him, we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses. That is, in Christ, you are forgiven. That should cause us to take this big, deep breath. Because too many of us are having a hard time forgiving ourselves. Yet the God Almighty forgives us. It's about time that we forgive ourselves, amen? If you're here today and you've been struggling with your past and you've been carrying it and hanging on and letting the devil just lie to you and poke at you and say things, it's time for you just to go like this. I am forgiven in Christ. Flip side the coin for a second. If you're here today and you're holding unforgiveness to someone else, flesh and blood that you can see, touch, whether they're living or they've passed away already, and you're still chained because of unforgiveness, know what Jesus' blood paid for. He paid for not only you to be forgiven, but giving you the power to forgive others. You can't do it in yourself, but in Christ, you not only can be forgiven, but you can forgive anyone. Anything. That's the power of God that resides inside of you and me as a believer in Christ. Number five, in Christ you can know the will of God. Thank you, Jesus. Grew up as a kid all my life thinking, oh my goodness, how do I know the will of God? Oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I said, I don't know more than I ever realized. But in Christ, you can know the will of God. Ephesians 1, 9 says, making known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Let me pause. Read in devotions this morning, and that I want to read from Ecclesiastes. Okay, from Ecclesiastes, just for a moment here. Verse 11. For whoever watches the wind will not plant, whoever looks to the clouds will not reap, as you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in the mother's womb. So how can you understand the work of God? Now, just in case you didn't know, Ecclesiastes was in the Old Testament, under the old way, where a lot of times most of the people of the Jews, the people that were of God's chosen, were in the dark. They didn't fully understand. They needed a high priest. They needed someone to step in, a judge or a prophet to speak it out to them so they could grab a hold of it and then they would walk in it. at particular times, Holy Spirit would come down upon someone and say, hey, I got a great feat that I want you to do. I've got something amazing I need you to do, and that I want you to take this step. I want you to speak this. I want you to grab your sword. I want you to be quiet and walk seven times around, and then all of a sudden, shout really loud, and the walls will come down. And then Holy Spirit would back off. And then he would come again for something. But in Christ, you can know the will of God. Not just at a particular time, but you can have a peace in your heart that you're exactly in his will. Why? Because as a believer in Christ, you can hear his voice. You can hear his voice. He's opened up your heart and your mind, snatched you from the devil's hand, and he's put you into his own. And now he whispers life into you. He whispers truth into you. He leads you into that life everlasting, all in Christ. He continues, number six, in Christ you are reconciled. He says in Ephesians 1:10, again, chapter 1, I'm just walking down. This is just 9 of the 216 things that he's declaring in your life and mine. Ephesians 1:10, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him that is in Christ, things in heaven and things on this earth. Listen to me. God, his will, and then his desire, and what he is doing is he is longing to reconcile everything, creation and every person back to him. His pockets aren't small. He has enough ability through the blood of Jesus Christ and what got paid, and that to redeem every single person. Redeem and reconcile everyone. The choice is ours. And I say that on twofold. Again, the coin, two sides of the coin. One side of the coin is no one can force you to walk in the fullness of God. Oh, you might get encouraged, you might get spurred, you might get whatever, and you can start to walk out of this hand and kind of walk a little bit forward. But if you stop anywhere along the path of, well, this is enough, well, I've kind of gone enough, oh, I'm feeling better, so this is okay, and you don't make it to this side, what he redeemed for, what he paid for, his blood, that he has reconciled you out of the hand of the devil and into his hand, and now in Christ, you can walk this way, you can talk this way, you can move this way, you can be like Christ, then you've sold short what Jesus has paid for. On the flip side of that coin, God has reconciled you and me. He's paid for you and me. No one in this room deserved it. I didn't deserve it. But he paid his ultimate sacrifice. His blood was shed for me so I could come out of darkness and I could come into light. So heaven forbid if any one of us forget where we've come from and forget that there is many that are still on this side and that are still stuck and blinded, and they don't know better, they don't see better, and that because he's blinded their mind and blinded their eyes, and he's brought us into the light so you and I can start to pray, you and I can start to go to the highways and byways, you and I can get into a place that we can be so free in the good and the bad and the ugly of our life that everyone around us will say, I don't know what you have, but I want it. And like Peter and John, we can say, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. Here's Jesus. He's more than enough. He is more than enough. You see, number seven, in Christ, you have an inheritance. There is no poor Christian. There is no poor Christian. Oh, reality is there's some that seem to have a lot of financial money or other stuff, and some that don't seem to have a whole lot. Some, whatever they touch seems to turn to gold. Others, it seems to just to fall through your hands. But the Bible says that he's given gifts to some. Some to make money, And they just, whatever they touch, it seems to make. But why? So they can invest into the kingdom, not keep it to themselves, not just look after their own, so they can invest it in his kingdom. Why? Because he's bought you out of the devil's hand. And he's brought you now into his hand and in his light. You were bought with a price. You're no longer your own. Now you're in Christ. And now you truly can be free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, it says, in him we have obtained an inheritance. I've got a mansion waiting for me in heaven. What that looks like, I don't have a clue. But all I know is there's a place for me and there's a place for everyone that calls out his name. Number 8, in Christ you have hope. Paul continues, he says, in Christ you have hope in Ephesians 1:12, that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. Rockcliffe, you have hope in Christ. Hope that you're going to see your saved loved one again. Hope that even though this world is tough and it's hard and things are difficult, or that you've been sick or you've had some problem within your body and you're like, God, like I'm asking 99 times, like what's happening here? This person asks once and they get it. Why don't I get it? I don't understand. But listen to me, God is for you, not against you. You are blessed. But in this world, we will have trials and troubles of many kinds. And not everyone is allotted the same thing. One was given 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. Right? We don't understand all of this. We don't understand what God's doing because we're so finite and this is all we see. One track mind. The odd time we get to see a little bit bigger and we're like, whoa, oh my goodness, I'm not as significant as I thought. Oh God, you do have a bigger plan than I thought. Oh, that does make a little sense. And then it comes back into here again. And this is where we spend most of our life. And that's why he says the sons of God are those not that are just yelling out his name and giving money and doing it, but are led by the Spirit of God. Why? Because he knows how difficult it is for you and I to get out of this tunnel vision, looking out for me, myself, and I. My family, my friends, my. And we have this tendency, we all fall in it over and over and over again. And that's why over and over and over again, I need the blood of Christ. I need to come to the cross. It's my ground zero when I get distracted and I get off track. I don't sit there and beat myself and, oh, I'm terrible. Oh, no. I just come and I sit at the foot of the cross again and I say, Jesus, thank you for what you've done. And in you, I am an overcomer. I am forgiven. I am blessed. I am chosen. And that in you, I am all these things. So God, I rise back up and Lord, help me to walk in the way that you asked me to walk in Christ. In Christ, number 9, you have the Holy Spirit. You're not aimlessly walking through this life trying to navigate and figure out, wow, where is that address? I don't know. I don't have GPS. I don't have a map. I don't have anything. And you're aimlessly going up and down roads and streets trying to find, where is this place? I don't quite know where it is. You have the Holy Spirit. Christ says that you have the Holy Spirit. This is just the introduction. There are 30 times that Paul says alone, just Paul, not everyone else, but just Paul says, I'm just pulling out 9 of them. Do you see where this is so incredibly important in your life and mine to understand who we are in Christ? You have the Holy Spirit, chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 13. So in the first 13 verses, I pulled 9 in Christ. The Bible is so rich. So many truths. It says this in verse 13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. You were marked in him with the seal the promise of the Holy Spirit. For a believer to say, I don't need Holy Spirit, is really an oxymoron. It don't make any sense. Because to be in Christ, you are sealed with Holy Spirit. We get all of them. Then the quest starts to begin, is that we got all of God. God didn't hold back anything from you or from me when he came and we said, God, oh, I'm a sinner. God, I need you. And in our heart we believed, in our mouth we confessed. God held nothing back. Even though he knew maybe how many times you and I would slip up, even though he knew what was going on in your life and my life and what would happen in 10 years' time or what would happen in our marriage or with our kid or with whatever, he already knew all of that before. And yet he held nothing back. Nothing. He gave us everything. So when you come to Christ, whether you feel you deserve it or not, you get all of Jesus, all of God, all of Holy Spirit. You get the fullness of everything that he has to offer. And then you and I go on this heaven's rehearsal, on this journey of learning how to give all of us to him. How do I surrender? And how do I go against everything inside of me that says, oh, fight for your rights or go this way? How do I turn my other cheek? Holy Spirit, help me so that I can portray what Christ would do. See, God's not into adding. He's into multiplying. And Jesus, and that he could have left Jesus here on the earth, and Jesus could have kept walking and doing miracles and moving from this town, and then he'd move over to this town, and then he'd move over to this town. But instead, what Jesus did is he trained and taught his disciples, and now all of a sudden there was 11 of them moving, and then they added a 12th in, and then they started, then they multiplied from there, and they kept going and kept going. And he says, you and I can do the same thing that Jesus did in greater. Why? Because you've been sealed and bought with a price. And now we have the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Don't live small. Don't live small. Don't live below. And don't cheapen what God has done for you. He has paid for and redeemed you by his blood from the hand of the devil. Notice, first of all, that to receive these benefits, you have to be in Christ. We have to be true believers in Christ. When we are in Christ, the first thing that we will gain is redemption through his blood. To redeem means to buy back, to pay a ransom's price. We were formed in the hands, we are formerly in the hands of the devil, and we belong to him, but Jesus paid the ransom price of his blood on the cross to buy us back. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says this, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you received from God? The moment you got saved, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So not only true believers, but we have a sinless lamb. See, the blood of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, I'm redeemed out of the hand of the devil. We're redeemed or brought back from the old, the evil, the ungodly ways of living, from the grip of Satan, from the condemnation of sin, and that from being open to the tax and the devourer of the destroyer. That's what our life was before Christ. But how were we brought back? 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says it clearly. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. He didn't just use money, gold, and silver to buy you back. for your aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers. Well, if we just keep doing the same thing that we're doing, it's going to make sure everyone is okay. Just because my daddy did it doesn't make it that I'm okay. Just because your grandma, your mom, your wife, your husband, your kid loves Jesus doesn't mean you're okay. Oh, yeah, it means that maybe you're in a better position because their prayers are powerful and effective to put coverings around your life. And sometimes, in all honesty, oh, I'm getting way sidetracked here. We all have a very difficult time when we're praying for one of our friends or one of our loved ones to say, God, do whatever you need to do. Don't we have a hard time with that? Because we know what that could mean. So we sidetrack that one a lot. Oh, God, just cover him. Oh, God, make everything okay. Oh, God, bless him. Oh, God, this. Oh, God, that. And they go through life with this false sense of purity because God is shifting and he's moving things because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective to pull down strongholds. So we're clearing the way for them and they're moving through life thinking, oh, this is great, everything's okay. But nowhere's in here is getting challenged by him. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world? What does it profit a man to make it to the end of his life in health yet lose his soul? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you speak curses over your loved ones. That's wrong. That's not what I'm saying. So please hear me clearly. But have enough faith to trust that your daddy is a good dad. He only gives good gifts. He only does good things to draw the best out of them. And he has the ability to redeem anyone back from the hand of the devil. Get to know your daddy so much that you can pray with confidence, God, do whatever you need to do. And my son, and my daughter, my mom, my dad, my relative, my friend, do whatever you need to do to draw them into the kingdom in the name of Jesus. You can pray that with confidence when you know your daddy, but it's hard to pray that when you don't know who he is or you don't know who you are in him. And then insecurity and other things rise up and we start to doubt God. We start to doubt his goodness and what he's done. Jesus was a sinless lamb. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, without blemish, without original sin, without spot, without personal sin, the sinless Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. It's not only through his blood that we are redeemed. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to all of the goodness that he says we have in him, except through receiving what he has done for us, the payment that we did not deserve and we could never pay back, and coming to that place in our life to say, God, I don't understand everything, but God, I want to believe you are good. God, I want to open my heart up to you again. God, I want to walk in these things you say I can walk into. I've spent way too long being clouded and deceived and hurt by the enemy. Lord, I want to come over here into the light. I pray that God reveals himself to each and every one of us afresh and anew. There was no other amount or payment that could pay the price to purchase our redemption. In the Old Testament, there was shedding of blood. But what does the word say over and over? If you read the word of God, it says it covered. It covered. It just covered the sin. It just covered the sin. And they would sacrifice more, it would cover the sin. They sacrificed more, it would cover the sin. But when Jesus came and he died, once and for all sin was paid for and broken free. Not just covered, as if like someone, they're keeping a long list. God is not Santa. He's not. He doesn't take his list out, who's naughty and nice. And he's checking it twice. And he's got a list of all the things you've done wrong. Listen to me. The Bible tells us the moment you come to Christ, he washes you white as snow. The old has gone and the new has begun. And as you now are a Christian and you begin to walk and you mess up and you ask God forgiveness, God says he remembers it no more. From the east to the west, it's gone. So when you go back to God, God's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's got no list. He's not checking it twice. So don't you keep a list. Don't keep a list against your family. Don't keep a list against your boss or your workers. Don't keep a list against people. God, forgive us. He's done all of this for us. And we're meant to be reflections of him. We're meant to do that for everyone else. How far has God gone for you and me? How far should we go for our spouse, for our kids, for our loved ones? In a world today, when it comes to relationship, this is about all it is. I'll go to the next one. Didn't like that one. Oh, was too much problems with me. Don't like that one. And we just keep flipping through. Whether it be in a marriage or in relationship, sexual, physical, in that part, or with friendships. Oh, they didn't tell me what I want. I'll just move on to another. Oh, don't like that person. I'll just move on to another. Listen to me. What right do we have of that? What right do we have? After all Christ has done for you and for me, I don't have a right of that. Now, the Bible does say, be careful. Bad company corrupts good character. It does say, and that sometimes in your great love for someone, you have to turn around and say, you know, listen, I can't spend any more time with you. I can't move in that direction anymore. And there will be times that we'll have to move in that way. And sometimes it's not because they're so ungodly and bad. It's because they don't have the mind of Christ. Even Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he didn't have the mind of Christ. And there's times you and I have to do the same thing. Otherwise, you and I will find ourselves underneath things so fast instead of walking on top of the water that he's called you and me to walk. Not only is he the sinless lamb, but it was an effective transfer. This is where I'm going to end. I'm going to just share just a few moments on here. And then we're going to come to communion. And let me pause for a moment here. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, call out to him and he will answer. Oh, we can fill in blanks and we can have a conversation, but it's not about me. It's not about the person next to you. It's about you. Do you believe in your heart? And are you willing to confess with your lips that he is your Lord, that you're in need of him? And you're not ashamed of it. If you're here today, then I encourage you, have that conversation with them. We can fill in the blanks and we can talk, or you can talk with the person you came with, and that for the years to come, we can journey together. But it all starts with that. Or if you're here today, and you've just been living below it, and that today God wants you to rise back up. As mighty warriors for him, as mighty sons and daughters of God, as overcomers, as true believers, that if my daddy said it, even though everything looks like it's moving downwards in a spiral, I'm okay. Because if my daddy said it, he always comes through. Because he is faithful. So I can be faithful with him. Because I'm a true reflection of him. Not only is he the sinless lamb, but it was also what he did on the cross was an effective transfer. Through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Psalms 107:2, I read earlier, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. See, some people may know that they were redeemed out of the hand of the devil, and others don't. Some, let me put it in a different way. Some, they didn't have the honor and privilege. Or maybe they did, but they shut it out of knowing just who Jesus was until later in life. and they've had a little bit more years behind them. Others, they grew up in the church. They might not have known him, and they might not have known they were in the hand of the devil because they were amongst the Christian believers and the church, and things were good, and people were praying. Even though they might not have understood it, they might not have declared it, all this goodness was around them so much that they didn't realize. And then they came to their moment and said, oh, Jesus, wait a minute here. I don't want just religion. I just don't want what my mom, I don't want this. But they came to a relationship with God, and they walked over here. But whether you are someone that's had years of mileage behind you, that's had heartaches and breaks and other things that you regret, or you're someone that grew up in the church, and even though you might not have made that decision to follow him on your first day in church or your first 10 years or 20 years in church, but you grew up in the circle of church and where you saw goodness and people praying, and you felt that umbrella of covering over your life. And then all of a sudden you come to that relationship with him and you come over here. It doesn't matter what position you come from. You're both in need of Jesus the same. It doesn't matter. What he does for one, he does for all. So whether it's the first one that's got years of mileage or it's the other one, he's redeemed both out of the hand of the devil. And he's washed both white as snow. I also know by what Scripture says that it was the blood of Jesus that got me out of the hand of the devil and into the hand of the good shepherd. Jesus said to his people in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Listen to me, the devil and no person can take you out of God's hand. Don't let the devil or people around you convince you, beat you down, wear you down, interrogate you, do whatever they're going to do to try and get you distracted enough for you to choose to walk out of his hand. Stay there. Remain faithful because he's given you everything you need. He says, and when it gets too hard and you don't know how to handle, he will give you a way out so you can remain faithful to him. This is the entrance way into the complete protection of the remaining verses of that psalm. Psalms 91. It is your testimony. It's your testimony. I will say. If you do not say it, you will not have it. Don't go far left, right on me here. Stay with me. There is so much power in what you declare. You need to begin to understand that. This is not name it and claim it and some far left extreme. And we get so on this that we just, oh, I'm not doing any of that. Shame on us. We have not because we ask not. And the word of God is very clear here in that when it comes to Psalms 91 verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. But those who say it, they have the scriptural right to live in it. It is the word of our testimony that makes it effective. Psalms 23:4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. I don't know about you, but I know many of my friends that were soldiers were coming into Remembrance Day. How many times they have spoken that verse out over and over again? How many times have you and I, in the midst of our difficulties, we've spoken that verse out? Something inside rose up inside of us as we come in alignment to his word and we begin to declare it out. I don't have to fear any evil because your rod and your staff, they comfort and they guide me. And all of a sudden, something inside of you rises up so that now you don't live underneath that fear, but now you're on top of it. Even though the circumstance might not change, you've changed Something shifted. Why? Because you came in alignment to his word. Through the blood of Jesus, I'm redeemed out of the hand of the devil, and I'm brought into his hand.